Hello, I'm Emily Little, and today I'm joined by acclaimed writer and dramatist Barry Keefe, who began his career as an actor and journalist before turning to full-time writing and directing in the theatre in 1975. During his career, he has written theatre, radio and TV plays, as well as screenplays for a number of films, including The Long Good Friday, starring Bob Hoskins and Helen Mirren. He's been resident writer at the Royal Shakespeare Company, the Shaw Theatre and the Soho Poly Theatre, and associate writer at the Theatre Royal Stratford East. He was a United Nations ambassador in 1995, and since 2002 taught dramatic writing at City University in London. He is awarded an honorary Doctor of Letters. Welcome to the University of Warwick, Mr. Keefe, and congratulations on receiving your honorary degree. Tell me first of all what receiving this award means to you.
I feel very humble and very honoured. And I got a lot of affection for, it's nice coming from Warwick, I got a lot of affection for this university and this place, going right back to the 70s at the Warwick Arts Centre, in touring my plays. I've had three plays there in a couple of years, and I've always liked the place very much, and the last couple of years I've been a judge on the Shootout, the film festival, and I've really been excited by the buzz there. I think it's smashing getting this award. At a time that's such an exciting university.
Do you like working with the students as far as kind of judging their work goes?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. I like the optimism, I like the enthusiasms, and it reminds me what it was like to be young and don't want to lose that.
So if we go back, you began your career as an actor and a journalist and then moved on to writing for films, television and radio. So would you call yourself a master of all trades?
What it is, actually, I get bored very easily. I also theatre, that's my great love. And after doing a theatre play, I love to do a film or a film, and I love radio drama very much. I like to keep moving around and not get into a rut. So I don't think I'm a master of any, I think it's still an apprenticeship, yeah.
But you obviously enjoy writing and for all these different mediums. So how easy is the process for you?
It always remembers better than it actually lived. I go through miseries of writing sometimes, and the things I like very much are when I get the idea and I get excited by that, I always like starting it. Usually halfway through, I think it's an absolute waste of time, it's a load of rubbish, and I seem to get a second wind. I can't imagine doing anything else. I've always been a sort of storyteller. It goes right back, I think, from a family. My granddad was always a great tale teller, and it comes very naturally to me. Maybe also kind of a lonely childhood where I was living in the imagination was running right all the time. I can't imagine doing anything else.
And you've written on a variety of subjects. Where does your inspiration come from?
Whatever grabs me at the time. You can hear someone talking on a bus or someone in the... for example, I'll give you an absolute example of this. I'm a great eavesdropper, of course, so sit in pubs sometimes reading, making out and reading a paper to listen to the conversation next to me. There's it was quite recently this. There was a Friday night in a pub. I was living in Greenwich at the time. And there was four, five, late 30 women... going dressed up for waiting for a cab. They were going out for a hell of a night out up in the West End. And one, they were comforting someone that was rather distressed. And I could not but making out reading the paper. And the line came out and she said, "I wouldn't believe it, but he looked better in my designer dresses than I do." Obviously talking about her husband, which one of her friends then said, "And who would believe it? The deputy superintendent of Woolwich CID." And I think put down the paper and stared, and of course they stopped talking then. But it's something like that, the thing I've overheard. I mean, Joe Alton got in that territory so well. But it's sometimes you can just hear a chance remark, or sometimes I'd read local papers a lot, just out of interest, I'd go to the magistrates' court. In the morning there, you just hear so many stories and lives, and often talk to the people afterwards, and sometimes that develops into plays. Where they just keep coming at the moment, very lucky, touch wood.
So you say theatre is one of your big loves. Why do you love it so much?
Why? I think it's because it's live, it's different every night. And that just when you can be sitting there and you actually hear the person breathing on the stage, it's the most profound effects. Movies you can see again and again. It's like rock and roll. It's yes, CDs or albums, fabulous, but there's nothing quite like a live gig. I think it's the fact that it's live and the danger of it and the risk of it and the excitement when it comes off. is very satisfying. Also, as a writer, you have much more control over it. In film, you're a sort of necessary evil, really. They don't like you on the set or anything. But it's just my passion, the theatre, yeah.
How did you find working at the Royal Shakespeare Company?
Oh, that was a really lovely, exciting time. And a tough company, because they do so much. I think the actors are often doing four different shows all at the same time. But I found it very creative, very exciting and sparky.
Do you like Shakespeare? Is that something?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because Warwick obviously has a good theatre and performance and cultural studies here, and the Capital Centre obviously does quite a lot of Shakespeare.
I saw the Capital Centre, went round yesterday. I thought that was absolutely wonderful, and that the fusion with business study students and make performance, and I thought that sounded so exciting. I didn't know that about that at all. But I was really taken by that, yeah.
Because obviously you were saying with films and obviously recorded plays, they're very kind of, that's how they are, that's how you then re-see them. But obviously plays and works of Shakespeare can be re-performed in many different ways.
Absolutely, yeah. And moments in theatre that you could never forget. I get a chill even thinking about this. I remember quite young, I'm sorry, Olivier playing Othello. And I remember his scream with Our Blood. And I still get the shivers when he found out afterwards he didn't know how to scream. And it wasn't until he was in Canada and heard the scream of a wolf, wild wolf, who got his tongue stuck on the ice and, of course, was frozen to it. And that scream, that's what he tried to recreate in Othello. Those moments in theatre. I mean, you go and see an awful lot of bad theatre, and I contribute to the bad theatre, totally. But you're chasing that dream of something that makes it a magical night. You'd rather be there than anywhere else in the world at that moment.
Who's been really good for you to work with?
Every experience is different. I've been very, very lucky with working with a lot of fabulous directors, thinking immediately of Bill Gaskell and Max Stafford-Clark, who both ran the Royal Court, and they directed a play of mine with a joint stock company. Richard Eyre, I like his work very much. This was before we went to the National Theatre, I was working with him. And, of course, my great inspiration, come from the East End of London, was Joan Littlewood and the heyday of Theatre Workshop in the East End. It was totally wrong, really. I wanted to be the sort of James Dean of the East End, but parts like that in the early 60s weren't being written. I think that's how I got into writing. The young plays were the plays I would like to have played as an actor. But Joan Littlewood was one of my great heroes, and I was doing a play with her, one of the first jobs. I'd just left school, so I was, 18. And there's one point in exasperation which kept asking me to do it again and again and again. And she said, with a Manchester accent, with a gitane chain smoking and a couple of crudities, so real swear words, and she said, "If I'd started off with actors as effing useless as you, I wouldn't be as effing famous as I am now." I think that was the first knocking on the door that maybe this is pursuing the wrong career here. But I think I wrote most of the things... In writing, yes, there are lots of reasons. Yes, I did really, when I started off writing, want to write plays to change the world or have an effect, and certainly a lot of my work, political plays. In the end, though, I think I've given reasons like that for wanting to write things, but I think it's the love of theatre, and I just want to write wonderful parts for wonderful actors to play. So I like the collaboration of live theatre, because again that can be changing throughout rehearsals, and acting can bring something and you think, actually, as a side of the character I hadn't seen. So I've been very, very lucky, yeah.
How do you think the theatre industry has changed over the years?
Well, I go back to remember that my early days with Theatre Workshop, where they didn't get an Arts Council grant and they had to earn every penny they made, and actors were sleeping in the theatre. I think money is so important now, and the corporations are so important now. I do loathe it in a way, no names, no pack drill, but where theatres are named after the money person that gave them the money to keep operating was a necessity. And I think everything is... Again, this is like... Well, I'm an old man talking, but the committee stages now, I did love it. I was lucky when I started off in theatre. I got in with a fringe theatre in London, Soho Poly, a basement cellar, and the director of Verity Bargate. And I remember the first play I wrote for her, and she said, "I believe in you as a writer. Whatever you write, I will do." And it was wonderful. Could get an idea, tell her it, and it could be on in 6 weeks later. Now everything takes so much longer. But there again, when I started, everyone was saying this is a bad time. I think the thing is just to be like advice to young theatre workers here or in writers here, just keep going, believe in yourself, believe in your talent. Certainly many plays of mine have been rejected. I got some wonderfully horrendous rejections. I think I could have papered a decorated wallpapered a room with the rejection letters. And then a couple of years later, the same play comes on, so keep during. Other thing we don't talk about much, but it's kind of important. Rejections are very much a part of life when you start writing, and also when you're supposed to be established, you can get the rejections. What I've found is usually they don't hurt so much. It comes like weeks, months later. Nowadays it's about 3 months before you get the reaction to your script. But if you're writing something else then, you're so fired up on the new thing, it doesn't hurt so much. The old one that got rejected, that's, I think, one of the safeguards or the insurance or the armour I've got to not get too hurt.
So recently you've gone into teaching down at City University. How have you found that experience?
The last few years. I love that. Writing is a very, very lonely job. And I fell into teaching. One, I've been so lucky with the people I've worked with, learnt so much. Every new director gives us something. And I got to the sort of thing where I wanted to pass it on, actually, because I fluffed around so much. There wasn't really writing courses then in the early 60s. There weren't sort of writing schools and that, and so it was so much trial and error and so much time I wasted. So it's nice to pass on. And I want it to be practical, my teaching, like how to translate it into something that is actually produced.
And finally, what life advice would you give to your fellow graduates today?
Take a photograph of yourself today getting the award. Keep it, treasure it. There come times when you're going to be down, when you are rejected, when you critically devastated, when everything's going totally wrong. Take that photograph out of the drawer, look at that face, your optimism, your faith, your hope, and your dreams today, and never let them die.
Thank you very much for joining me today, Mr. Keefe, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your time here at Warwick. And once again, congratulations on your honorary degree.
Thank you very much.